Good afternoon, everyone. This is Rajiv Askhana for the Law Office of Rajiv Askhana PC, immigration.com. This is a community conference call. Today is Thursday, July 28th. This call is for community information purposes only. By participating in this call, you are not bound to be represented by us, nor are we bound to represent you. This does not create attorney-client relationship. This call is being recorded. If you folks do not want to be recorded, your voice not to be recorded, or you don't want your identity to be publicly available, you may want to hang up or not talk during the conference call, or you can even hide your identity. I think that's the better thing to do anyway. I have some questions that have already been posted on our forums. I think that'll take about 35, 40 minutes at the most. We should have some time left for questions that have not been posted or new questions and follow-up discussions. That said, give me a moment while I pull up the questions. Okay, let's see. The first question is from AAP Desai. Question regarding experience letter. They are not able to get an experience letter from the consultant who is employer A. C was the end client and B is the in-between vendor. So company A has refused to give an experience letter. By the way, there is a law on the books. If she gets hired by company C, she cannot use the experience she gained while working for company C as a consultant. Be aware of this. This is a very weird provision in the law. I have seen many, many people trip on this. It's a little regulation stuck in the law that says if you are working for the client company as a consultant and later on take a job with them, you are not allowed to use that experience unless the consulting job is more than 50% different. I'm just pointing that out as one of the problems that I see. But there is absolutely no problem in using secondary evidence. If employer A refuses to give you a letter, you can actually use any document such as a letter from employer C that says, you know, as a consultant, this is what she did, or even, affidavits from her supervisors or coworkers. But there is a whole lot of, I would say analysis here that is needed. You have to make sure your lawyers are made aware of the situation, and they are the ones who should be telling you what is the best form of evidence. But it is manageable, okay? I don't see this is going to be a big problem. So don't worry about the format. It'll work out fine. Talk with the lawyers who are going to represent you, and they should be able to fix it. Yashraj 31, four questions. I have 8.5 months left on my H-1 6 years. They are starting my green card now. What happens if I max out? Do I have to absolutely go back, or extension of H-1 is possible? H-1 extension is only possible if your I-140 is approved. Otherwise, until the I-140 is approved, or until you reach the first anniversary of your green card filing, you will stay outside USA. So it could be a few months stay outside USA. Of course, you can work for the company from India or your own home country, whichever it is, while you're outside USA. That's no problem at all. U.S. laws don't affect that at all. I'm a chemical engineer, worked in IT, 10 years of IT experience. Can my green card be filed in RB2 category? Yes, if you have a four-year bachelor's degree. Most chemical engineering degrees from India are four-year bachelor's degrees. I think you should be able to qualify under EB2. My employer is saying ad has to be placed for 60 days. They probably are talking about the job order. The job order has to be placed for 30 days. Then you have to wait another 30 days before you can close it and move forward. Let me rephrase that, before you can move forward. It is closed after 30 days. So the process will take 3 to 4 months, and labor will take another 6 to 9 months. This timeline is correct. This timeline is, I would say, approximately correct. Sometimes cases are approved earlier than that, instead of 6 to 9 months. And if you get into an audit, then it can take longer than that. But average 6 to 9 months is not a bad guess. What are the typical expenses of various stages of green card? I do not know what other firms charge, but if you want to see our fees, they are actually available online. If you go to www.immigration.com, look at the right-hand side panel, and there is an entry called, a heading called Popular Information, I think. Let me double-check that for you. Immigration.com, yes, under Popular Information, second heading is Our Fees. You can also type www.immigration.com/r-fees, r-fees, F-E-E-S. So when you go there, you look under PERM, it gives you the breakup of what we charge, okay? Our fees are all standard. We don't negotiate. We don't, you know, change them unless the case is extraordinarily difficult. Then we might increase the fees. But basically, that's what we charge, and we have published it. So you can get some idea of what the expenses involved are. Like I said, I don't know what other lawyers charge. Your questions are answered. Let me move to Houston Krishna. Houston Krishna says, oh, yeah, he spoke with me last time. So they have filed a complaint against their employer who declined to pay them. And the WH-4 has been filed through FedEx. That's the complaint form with the Department of Labor. So the question is, can we go ahead and apply for an H-4 now that, you know, that complaint has been filed? And the answer is yes. We don't have to wait. You can go ahead and file. And you wanted to know, can our office handle such cases? Yes, we do them. We do them all the time. I will not make any guarantees to you, but this is as good a case as you can make. Once you have filed a complaint, you have created definitely a good mark against any implication that you've been breaking the law. Whatever you did unknowingly. I think there is a chance here. How bright, I do not know, but there is a chance here that we might be able to get her back into H-4. You want to send me an email. I'll get this process started for you. We'll let you know how much we will charge. I don't know off the top of my head. You can send me an email to help, H-E-L-P, at immigration.com. That's my personal email address, help at immigration.com. Also, you can send email through the contact us form. That form is on immigration.com as well. Next question is from Balu Neeraj. Questions regarding MTR. Husband applied for I-140 in EB-1. That got denied. So the question is, can we use the EAD while the appeal is pending or MTR is pending? And the answer is, in my view, no. But there are lawyers who are very aggressive, and they say, until they actually decline the EAD, why should I not continue using it? I personally think it's wrong, but there are people who might differ from me. What should I do if I get a negative response for the MTR? Should I go to India to get another H-4 stamping? Can I go and re-enter with the existing H-4? I think you can re-enter with the existing H-4. That is my opinion. If you have an H-4 visa stamp, just step outside the U.S. and come back using H-4 visa. Salik one says he had a 751 interview to remove conditional status on his green card application filed by his wife, and she ended up withdrawing the application because the immigration officer told her she's going to go to jail. Well, what do I do about my job? You know, you've got a problem. The day your conditional status is declined, you are now accruing unlawful presence. So if you stay in U.S., say, past 180 days from that date, you cannot come back for 3 years. If you stay past 1 year, then you can't come back for 10 years. This is referred to as 310 bar, unlawful presence, okay? What I would recommend is you will have to leave USA, get an employer to get you an H-1 visa, and come back on H-1, okay? In the meantime, you should discuss or have your wife and you both discuss your case with a lawyer and see what's going on here. Did they just, you know, bully her into withdrawing the application, or how does she feel about it, okay? Next question is, we and MK, staying in India while green card is in process. Only question I have in these cases, first of all, common sense is, if there is a permanent job, which is what green card is supposed to be for, even though the job is in the future, who is doing that job right now? Who is doing that job right now? So if you are in India and the job is supposed to be here, who is doing it? That's the first question I always have in mind. If you have a good answer to that, for example, the work has been outsourced to me in India. I'm working on the same job from India, or there are three other people doing my job right now together. It's spread between three people, or whatever it is, you know, whatever the correct answer is. Don't make things up. Whatever the correct answer is, if that answer is a good explanation, go for it. Now, other questions. If I come back on H1, then I need to justify the H1 job. And if I come back on AP, then I need to justify the green card job. I would say, yes, you are correct. So a few questions. I have approved H1B, but not stamped. So he hasn't gotten H1B visa stamping, but I have a valid AP. I would like to continue to work on H1B so I can get married to add my spouse on green card. But to avoid unexpected H1B stamping delays in India, can I come on AP but work on H1? Yes. Yes. The law on that is very clear. There is something called, what is that guy's name? Give me a moment to collect my thoughts. There is a memorandum, Cronin memorandum, C as in Charlie, R-O, N as in Nancy, I, N as in Nancy, Cronin. If you type Cronin on our forums, you should pull up a lot of information. If you are an existing client, I don't think you're our client, but if you were, you could have gone to clients.immigration.com, which is a clients-only website, and you could have typed Cronin, and it would have pulled up the memo and all the related discussions. So that memorandum clearly says, even if you enter on AP, if you are working for the same employer for whom you were working earlier when you got your H-1, you can continue on H-1 even though you entered on AP. Okay? Can I apply for AP extension and leave the country since I have an approved H-1? This is a very tricky question. I would say contact CBP before you go, because CBP has been flip-flopping on this issue. Sometimes they have said, no, wait until the actual approval comes. Sometimes they've said, well, if you already have an H-1 visa, it's okay to leave, or you have an existing AP, it's okay to leave while the AP extension is pending. So I would just say find out from them what their current thought is, and preferably look at frequently asked questions on cbp.gov. If there's something written, that's even better, because anything on government website in writing has the force of law. So you can hold it against them if they give you bad advice. But if they tell you something on the phone and it turns out to be incorrect advice, there's nothing you can do about it. Last question was, is it possible to stay in India? And I gave you that answer. As long as you have a good reason and good explanation how come you're staying in India while the case is going on in USA, who is doing your job, I don't see any problem. Sasha has an issue. Sasha 511 says she has a J-1 waiver issue, and instead of going back to home country, she went to Canada and became a permanent resident there. So now the question is, I want to start my waiver process. How do I do it? Because when I go to the U.S. Embassy, the Indian Embassy in India, in USA, I'm sorry. When I go to the U.S., when I go to the Indian Embassy website in USA, there it tells me that we are only dealing with people who live in U.S., but I'm living in Canada. There is no information on the Indian website in Canada, so Indian consulate website. The way I would do it is I would call the Indian consulate in Canada first, and a lot of people do this from third countries. There's got to be a mechanism for it. I don't remember, and I don't know what the mechanism is off the top of my head. Contact the U.S., the Indian consulate in Canada first. Find out what they say. Remember, people living in India do it all the time, too. So there are mechanisms for this for all kinds of people. Find out what mechanism you have to pursue. But you are on the right path. You will have to get a waiver without the waiver or complying with the home residency requirement, which requires you to go back to the country where you came from, the country of last permanent residence, before you entered USA on J-1. If you don't go to that country, you will have to get a waiver. Okay? Good luck. Bob, Basic 2002. Bobby says, I was working for A. They filed my GC in EB3. Then I went to B. They filed in EB2 as a future job, ported my priority date. Green card got approved. I left company A, started working for company B. Good. And I got a lot more money than I had, about 10-15% more. Now, the company that sponsored him is not doing that well. They want to cut his salary to almost half. Well, as long as you are doing everything by the book, I don't see why this should be a problem. Okay? I don't think this should be a problem during naturalization. If they ask you why was there a pay change, the answer is very simple. Economy. It's the economy, stupid. That's the way it is. Can a green card holder move to another state, or does he have to live in the same state? No. You can move. Once you have your green card approved, and you took the green card based upon an intention to take the job on an indefinite basis, you can do whatever you want. And I would say wait a few months if you can. That just makes your case a little harder to, challenge. Can you start a business on green card? Sure you can after a few months. And again, there is a blog entry on this. I have it on my blog, How Soon Can I Leave? Okay? So read that in detail. It'll tell you what the parameters of this particular problem are. AKS341 wants to know, I've been an MBA student for F1 visa. I was in USA till July 2009. Then I left, and I plan to return in August. So the first question, I read your fact pattern beforehand. How much of the maximum 6 years is allowed on H-1B? My understanding is that I have used about 3 years, 3.5 months. That is correct. As long as you were physically in the U.S. on H-1, that is how much you have used. So after finishing your MBA, you would have 2 years, 9 months. Remember also, the period that resets your clock, the 366 days outside USA, they have to be at one stretch. Small interruptions, if you come to USA for 15 days in between, no problem. But then you have to be outside USA for an additional 15 days. But you can't count 365 days or 379 days in pieces. You can't do that. Any meaningful interruption, for example, if you came to US for 6 months, you have to start your 1 year all over again to reset the clock. Okay? So I think that answers your questions. Next question is Omar Sharif. I have been in removal proceedings. I've said this before. I am not an expert in removal. I would want you to talk with a lawyer who practices deportations. I have not practiced before U.S. immigration courts for a long time. I only do federal court litigations. That area I know and I can answer questions on. But I do not know anything about removal proceedings. But as far as I know, general knowledge, if removal proceedings are terminated, you are in the same situation as everybody else. It looks like you should be fine, but you do need to talk to a lawyer. The good news is I think you're going to be just fine. Big Joe, thank you for making me aware of problem with that, with people posting spam. I have talked to Monica about this. What they are doing is, by the way, we already have CAPTCHA going. Spam is being posted by live people. It is not being posted by bots. So what we are doing is, Monica is talking to our system admins, and we are going to put in a little piece of code that does not allow people to post messages or post links in their messages unless they have posted a certain number of messages. So hopefully that will help. You have attached a couple of cases. The extended absence case, I'm familiar with that case. The CSPA case, I haven't had a chance to review. If there is anything particular you want me to comment on, I'm not sure what exactly. I hope you're on the phone right now and we can talk a little bit more about it. But as far as I remember, the Ninth Circuit Court was basically marked by the court as not for publication, which basically means that case has no precedential authority. You cannot quote that case. It's as good as no case at all. Okay? Next question is Shaz Bell. I'm on H4 doing my MS in a public university. Can I accept scholarship, tuition fees, waiver based on my academic standing? As far as I know, no, sir, you cannot. If I'm offered a job on campus, how soon can the university apply for H1? Your start date can be immediate. You are not subject to the quota. University jobs are not subject to the quota. Do universities come under any special category with respect to H-1B? Yes. With respect to green card, no. H-1 quota does not apply to universities, but green cards, there is no special dispensation. Can the university directly sponsor my green card without filing for H-1? Absolutely no problem. They can. You can go from H-4 to green card directly. How long will it take? Depends. If you are unfortunate enough to be born in India, Mexico, China, Philippines, one of these four countries, it's very slow. As compared to that, rest of the world is pretty fast. You could potentially have your green card under EB-2 within a year, year and a half. If your priority date is current, as you're saying it is, it could be potentially within a year. Potentially, I say, because it depends whether your case goes into audit or not. Then it could add another year on it. What are my chances of getting a J-1 visa? Oh, you're a lady. Okay, my husband and I have approved I-140. Chances are not that good when you have an approved I-140, but who knows? Because, see, J-1 visa does not allow you to have a dual intent. You can't be having an intention to immigrate at the same time applying for a J-1, okay? Next question is, Kiran K, myself and my wife got green cards a few weeks back. I filed my daughter's I-485. Question is, can I take full-time job with a different employer? Well, the answer is probably yes, okay? But here is the problem, and I've said this many, many, many times before. There is an entry on my blog that talks about what the criteria are for leaving the employer after you get the green card, what the possible consequences are, what you should be doing. I've discussed all of this in that entry. Bottom line is, if at the time of taking the green card, you had the intention to remain with that employer indefinitely, but after a few weeks or a few months, you changed your mind, you got a much better job offer, or this employer is cutting your salary, for some such good reason, I don't think it's a problem at all. Okay? So it's all a matter of judgment call. Next question, Hasan. Okay, he is on an employment-based visa, and there's a problem with his medical report. Can I execute a medical waiver? Well, everything that I can think of, everything, any problem with the medical report, there is either a waiver or a solution possible. So I wouldn't lose hope just because there's an issue with for example, if somebody has AIDS or HIV, there is a solution for that. Somebody has TB or any other contagious disease, or somebody has schizophrenia. All of these things, there are either waivers or some things available that can get you around the problem. It might add a few months to your process, but ultimately it is manageable. I have pretty much finished all my questions, guys. It took me about 22 minutes to do that. We can now start talking about follow-up questions on what we have discussed so far, okay? So anybody who has a question on a follow-up on what we have discussed, press 5-star. 5-star for old questions. For new questions, I will start in a few minutes once I'm done with the old questions. So far, I have one hand up. So press 5-star. I have one hand up from area code 5023 now. Okay, anybody else? Press 5-star on your phone. Let me get started in the order in which people logged in. First question, area code 682. Go ahead, please. Area code 682. You are calling from area code 682.
Hey, Rajiv. I was the one that raised the question about going for the I-751 interview. I got it through my spouse. So
I remember your question. Yes, sir.
Yeah, the question is, if I want to go about it by myself, what do I need to do? Or if I need to go about it with my wife, what do I need to do about it, about the denial?
Look, first of all, without your wife, you have no status.
Okay.
Okay, unless you can demonstrate, and this is going to be difficult, unless you can demonstrate that the marriage, when entered into, was entered into in good faith. See, this is not an issue of divorce. Here, there was no divorce. Here, actually, they made the wife confess somehow that the marriage was not entered into in good faith. So I don't know what kind of information they have on you. I don't think this is something that you can handle yourself. I think you need to get a lawyer involved. Many things you can handle yourself, but this is complicated enough that if you try to do it yourself, it's likely to blow up in your face.
Oh.
Get yourself a lawyer, because remember, you have an exposure to criminal prosecution here. If they have some kind of information that says, well, you know, you guys lied, next thing is they can arrest you and put you in.
Yeah.
So
please get yourself a lawyer. Don't do it yourself.
Okay. All right. Thank
and
you.
Get yourself a local lawyer where you are.
Okay. Thank you.
All right?
All right. Thank you.
Good luck, sir. Next question is from area code 502. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rajiv. This is Yashraj 31. I had put a question about having 8.5 months left on my H1 and my company is just initiating the green card.
Right, I remember your question, Yash.
So if my labor gets approved, that still does not mean I can continue
because
I think you said I-140 needs to be approved as well.
Correct. And the thing is, I-140 can be filed premium processing, so that's not a problem.
Okay, but if is this because it is filed in the last year of H1? Because if it is done before, then...
No. The way it works is, there are two legal provisions under which you can get H1 extension.
Okay.
Two provisions. One provision relates to the date your green card was started. Okay? You can get one-year extensions when your green card is 1 year old.
Okay.
The other provision is, we don't care when your green card was started. We only care if your I-140 is approved.
Okay.
So you can get potentially 1 year extensions based upon the age of the green card and 3 years extensions based upon I-140 approval.
So, see, today is July 28th. Say my labor is filed after 3 months, like October end or something. My max out is April 14th. So I have to go back, but can I still come back when I hit the 1 year mark from...
Absolutely. Absolutely. No problem at all.
Okay. So even though my I-140...
If you go, you won't be going for full 1 year. You'll be just going for a few months.
So that 1 year is from the... Is it from the labor filing date?
From the filing, yes.
So even though my labor is approved and I have filed my 140, but it is not approved, so I have to go out... And then I can come back even if it is still under process, the I-140?
Yep. You'll come back after the I-140 approval and after the H-1 has been approved. You are not subject to the quota.
Okay, so but my it's not that my green card is dead, basically. I can still, I cannot stay here, but I can come back.
Absolutely, and the green card can go on in your absence. That is no problem.
Okay, but does at least the labor have to be approved, or even if that is not approved before my max out, I can...
Even if it is pending, it's no problem. As long as that 1 year anniversary is reached, and remember, even if the labor cert is denied and you file an appeal, the moment that 1 year anniversary is reached, appeal stays pending for 2.5 years. The moment that 1 year anniversary is reached, you can come back on H1.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck. Now we go on to area code 212. Go ahead, please. Area code 212.
Hey, Rajiv. This is Muthu. I'm the one who posted on the staying in India while green card in progress.
Yes, sir. I remember your questions.
Right. I'm going to India because the project that I'm working with my company is kind of going to happen in India for some time.
All right. That's a good explanation. If the project that you're working on is being done from India, there's no problem. But, you know, bear in mind, green card is only available for jobs that require work in USA. Just keep that in the back of your mind. Now, we had a case many years ago. This was a very interesting situation where even though the job was located in USA, it required almost 9 months a year stay in Nigeria, Kenya, all these developing countries, because that was the nature of the job. And we had a very long, extended fight with the Department of Labor, and finally we lost. We could not convince them the job was located in USA.
Okay. So a couple of follow-up questions on that. Regarding the AP extension, you said that I have to talk to CBP.
CBP, Customs and Border Protection.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they are the people who let you in. See, there are three agencies now that you deal with. USCIS approves your cases, approves your advance parole. CBP stands at the border, makes sure you are behaving. ICE is the one who investigates you. So there are three different agencies.
Okay. All right. And the process regarding the staying in India, right? Do you have to, right now I applied for 485, so do you have to change it to like counselor processing?
No, you don't. You don't have to. But that's something, that's a strategic decision you should discuss with your lawyers, what is the best thing. There's no need for you to.
Okay. Because if it is a 485, then I have to be here for fingerprinting, right? All those things.
No, whatever they ask you to come for, yeah. Fingerprinting, extension of AP, H1, whatever.
Okay. Another thing is that regarding filing a new green card, I heard you saying that if I have to, right now I'm consulting with the company, vendor, if I have to file a green card, you said that the...
Your voice is breaking up, but I'm trying to understand what you're saying. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that right now I'm consulting with a vendor. If I have to file a green card with this vendor, you said that the experience that I gained working as a consultant for this vendor is not applicable towards the green card?
Yeah, if the vendor or the end client itself is, not the vendor, but the end client.
Oh, the end client.
Yeah.
Okay.
So vendor is okay, but end client, let's say you are working for the end client as a consultant, and
right.
Then the end client hires you, you can't use that experience.
Oh, okay. Okay. Got it.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Okay, let's go on to the second last question. Area code 917, please. Caller from 917.
Hi, Rajiv. This is the Bobby question.
Yeah, Bobby. What was the question?
The question was that they're cutting my pay almost 50%, the GC sponsoring
yes,
company.
Yes, yes. I remember your situation. Bobby, I don't think it's anything you can protect yourself against. This is the way life is. I mean,
the question is, I am looking for a job somewhere else, though, but it's easier to actually find a job when you have a job, and I thought it would be better than, like, sitting at home and not getting paid at all.
I think it's fine. I don't think it's going to be a problem for the green card purposes. Now, look, any damn fool can create any problem. The question is this problem going to hurt me? I don't think it should hurt you.
Okay. Also, if once I do find a job, though, does that job have to be in, like, a certain percentage of the PWD, or does it matter now?
I don't think it matters anymore.
Oh, yeah, I think matters anymore. Okay. And you said the state also, and moving any other state is also fine.
You are a free man, sir.
Right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Good. Thank you.
The last question from already asked. I don't have a phone number for you. You're probably calling from a voice over IP.
Hello. Yes. Hello. Raju, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
This is the question from AKS 341. This was about the reset of H-1B if I stayed out of the U.S. for more than 365.
Yeah, you did an MBA.
So my question is, my 4 months of stay in 2009, and at present I have been out of U.S. for the last 5 months, and if I stayed until December, that will make it about 10 months of stay in 2011. Would these two stays be together considered?
No. You see, if there is meaningful interruption, because your 5 months was in 2009.
Right.
There is too much interruption between 2009 and 2011. You were in USA for that time. So that's not going to count. Once again, let's say I'm in USA for, let's say I leave USA. I'm in India for 8 months. Then I come to USA
right.
for 15 days. And I go back again, that's not meaningfully interruptive. I just have to stay an extra 15 days outside. But if I come to USA
okay.
for 6-7 months, then I have to start the 1 year all over again.
I see. Okay, all right. So extending my stay at present is not going to help at all.
Yeah, but
unless
two,
I complete 1 year of stay.
Yeah, you already have 2+ years anyway, so it's all right.
Right, right. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Just 1 second, guys. I'm having some trouble with technology. It's winning right now. As soon as I start winning, I'll let you know. Give me 1 second. Okay, I won. All right. Anybody has any questions whatsoever, please press 5-star. New questions, old questions, anything at all. 3 questions so far. 4. Alrighty, 5. Very good. Let's get started. Area code 6-7. Okay, area code 412. Go ahead, please. Area code 412. You are calling from area code 412-378. Go ahead, please. Okie doke. Next person is calling from area code 636. Go ahead, please. No, not unmuted. Give me 1 second. Area code 636. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Rajiv, sir. My name is Wendy.
Hi, ma'am.
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Okay, I have 2 questions. First, I'm on an H-4, and I'm planning on transferring to an EAD. And if I want to transfer back to an H-4, can I do that?
Yeah, of course. As long as your husband is maintaining his H-1, at the time you apply for H-4 or you want to convert back to H-4, the only thing that's needed is either you go outside USA, get a new H-4 visa, and come back on H-4, or if you already have an H-4 visa, just go outside USA and come back using that visa.
All right. And my second question is, I want to study using my EAD, and if something does happen to my husband's H-1 or green card process, is there a way I can transfer to an F-1 so I can continue?
You can. There are a couple of flies in the ointment. One fly is this. If you have applied for a green card, you are named in the green card, which you probably will be, getting an F-1 becomes uncertain. Not impossible, but uncertain. And the second is, getting an F-1 is always uncertain. You never know whether they're going to give it to you or not.
Oh, okay. But if I really do want to, though, can I apply for it while I'm in the U.S., or do I have to go out of the country?
No, you can apply for it. You have both choices. You can apply for it within USA, or you can go outside USA and apply for it.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, next question. I have about 3 to 5 to 7 more questions. Okay, next one is area code 508. Go ahead, please. 508.
Yes, okay, hi. Hi, Rajiv. My name is Dayalan.
Yes, sir.
I'm an American married Canadian on a TN visa.
All righty.
I'm looking to see what's the fastest and safest way to convert her status to a green card.
Oh, very easy. Basically, you would apply for her form. You write down the names of the forms.
Yes.
You must read all the instructions. Ideally, talk with a lawyer, get a lawyer involved, although I personally don't feel that a lawyer is necessary for family-based cases most of the time. What you will do is file Form I-130.
Yeah.
Which is what gets her basically it's a
permission,
but
yes.
Yeah, it tells you that okay, she is entitled to the green card. And then you file the I-485 package. The I-485 package contains many forms, and basically these forms are what gets her employment authorization, permission to travel. She shouldn't travel outside while the 485 is pending. Okay.
Okay.
485 package will contain I-765, which is for work authorization. I-131, which is for advance parole, permission to travel. You'll have to file I-864, which is affidavit of support. And by the way, with the I-130, you also file G-325A as in Apple. That is biographic information for both you and your wife. And these are the forms that you have.
So if she wants to travel, she needs to get the I-131 approved, right?
That's the best thing to do.
I see. Okay. How long does something like that
take? You can also do it this way. Although I don't like this way, you could actually have her do consular processing in Canada. And the problem is if she's on TN and there's a green card going on, they can stop her from coming back into USA anytime.
Right.
So AP 131 is the best way to go.
Okay, 131. Okay.
Yep.
One secondary question. She's traveled in and out on a TN visa several times. What is the effective I-94 number that they use? Because there's the original I-94 which was issued with the TN visa, and then there's another I-94 that was issued the last time she traveled.
Very easy. Use the last issued one, but attach copies of everything.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Great.
Good.
Thank you.
Are you welcome? Okay, let's go on to area code 502. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. Hi, Rajiv. This is Yashraj 31. I had asked that question about my labor being filed in the last year,
right,
with the 8-9 months to go. Actually, I had this document here from immigration.com only. It says that 1 year extensions can be obtained if I-140 was filed. So,
I don't know what you're reading. Well, you know, immigration.com content is all coming from us. So, when I'm telling you that's the way the law is, there is no point in discussing anything beyond that. That is the law.
Okay, so when, say, I go back and I've reached my 1 year anniversary and my I-140 is not filed, I can still get a 1 year extension,
actually,
right?
Let me make it even more complicated for you. The funny thing is, you are allowed to apply for an H-1 6 months ahead of the start date.
Okay.
Okay. You can't start before that, but you can apply before that. Okay. So let's say in the 6th month of your green card pendency,
mm-hmm,
you are outside USA. Your lawyers can actually start your H-1 6 months ahead of time.
Okay.
But you will come into USA only once the 1 year is over.
Okay. So the extension cap process can be initiated, you are saying, and I can come back as soon as I hit the 1 year mark.
You got it.
Okay. So yeah, okay, that's fine. That's all, because because in my situation, I'm seeing there is a possibility that my I-140 might not get approved by, you know, in the next 8.5-9 months. That's why I'm just trying to understand all the scenarios.
You don't know that. It might get approved. Who knows?
Yeah, but if it does not, I'm just trying to, you know, how much time and whether I can come back or not.
No, that's wise decision making. But it may even get approved. You never know.
Right, but this thing is good. I can come back. If so, I don't really need to have my I-140 filed in premium.
If I have to
just stay 2-3 months away, that is still not too bad. So, because I thought my thing is dead.
No, not at all.
Okay, thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Okay, let's move on to area code 201, please.
Hi Rajiv, this is AP Desai. The first question in your thread
regarding the experience letter.
Yeah, this is regarding my wife's case, and I said she joined the.
I know your case. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I know your case.
Regarding the experience, you said at the end that if the experience is different, like when she took the job, which is different, 50% more.
I'll give you an example. Let's say she started working as a programmer analyst or a software engineer.
Yeah.
But now they're offering her a job in the future which involves technical leadership.
Okay.
She does technical work, but mostly in leadership role. That could be more than 50% different.
Oh, okay. Because when she did a job as a consultant, she was working on different modules, and now...
See, modules doesn't matter. It is the nature of the job. I mean, you could be a Java programmer analyst or a Java software engineer, and then you go into .NET. That doesn't change the nature of the job.
The nature of
the job changes when, even though technologies are same or different, we don't care. But the nature of the job is different. For example, now you are providing technical leadership, you are meeting with clients, you are deciding what the budget is going to be. This is an example.
Oh, okay, great. That's what I wanted to know.
Yep.
Yeah, that answers my questions, because she was just having 8 months less for 5 years completion. So
this is
that's what I wanted. Okay. And one more thing I just wanted to know. Even I have my case for perm filed, and I'm getting audited. My case was filed in November 2010, and initially there was a delay of 2 years, but suddenly it is showing that audit cases of November 2010.
Yeah.
Do you know what is going on? I mean, is
it? They have speeded up. They are saying that they are doing them a lot faster now.
Oh, okay. That's great. That's good for me.
Yep. Good luck.
Thanks, Raju.
Good luck. Okay, last 4 questions. Well, area code 412, sir, I have you on unmute. I still don't hear you. Area code 412-378. I guess I don't know what's wrong. Okay, next question is again from area code 212-250. Okay, I'll leave you unmuted. Area code 203, I guess, Connecticut.
Rajiv sir, Sachin here.
Yes. Hi, how are you, sir?
Good, good. Sir, I have a question about the reinstatement for Tri-Valley.
Sure.
I've heard like 3 to 4 people have been denied the reinstatement. So what's the next step for them? Like,
well, people who have been denied reinstatement obviously no longer have any way to stay in USA.
Okay.
They need to be outside USA. Once they are outside USA, then we have to decide. For some people, H1, H4 may be the best way to go. Some people can try for an F1 again. But reinstatement denial is not a good sign for another F1. If reinstatement has been denied, another F1 is unlikely.
Right. But the reason that they are giving in denial is like you guys have taken online classes, so that's why it's been denied. From day one, the students have been out of status. That's what the reasons were.
I personally disagree with them, but that's the way it is.
Okay. And do we have any updates on any Tri-Valley or anything?
Well, I spoke with Rajagopalaji, the MP from Vijayawada, day before yesterday, 3 days ago. Naveen and all these people who are in India, they had connected him with me. He said Parliament's new session is starting. If the boys have any more complaints, they should contact him. So, you know, contact Naveen and Shashi, all these people. You know, get your complaints over to Rajagopalji. He will make another issue before Parliament.
Okay. That's it.
Good luck to you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, I have two people still available. They are unmuted, but I don't hear them. Area code 212-508. Area code 412-378. I don't hear them. Okay. Last two questions then. One is from Voice over IP. I don't have a number. Logged in at 2:03 p.m.
Raju, can you hear me?
I can hear you, sir.
Hello? Okay.
Yes, I can.
Raju, this is AKS341. My question was about Rajwat, and I'm presently...
I'm sorry, your question was about what? Your question was
resetting H1B clock if I stay outside of US for 1 year.
The MBA guy, yes.
Yes, yeah. So my question is, because I have 2 years, months left on my H1, once I come back on a full-time job after the MBA, how soon or how latest the employer should file for a green card so that the green card can, my H1 can get extensions?
Within 4 or 5 months after you come to U.S. They have to get started on the green card.
So I thought as long as I complete 1 year of the green card process.
But remember, it takes about 5-6 months even to start the process, set it up.
I see.
So you don't really have... you don't really have
a lot of time
to start the process. You only have about 6 months.
To get started on that process and get completed with at least the first stage, that'll help me get extensions.
That's right.
Which stage should get completed before the extensions can be given?
I already explained that there are two ways to get the extension, either I-140 approved or labor cert pending 1 year.
Labor cert pending 1 year, okay. All right.
Actually, let me rephrase that. That's not very accurate. Labor cert filed more than a year ago. It doesn't have to be pending.
It may get approved in that 1 year, but it should be filed at least 1 year.
Even if it is approved and you now have an I-140 pending and the 1 year anniversary is reached, you can get 1 year extension.
Right. And filing the labor is the first stage of the whole process.
Yeah,
once
that is done,
1 year is complete.
Right. Even filing the labor takes 4 or 5 months.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot, Raju.
Okay. Last question is area code 203. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Rajiv. This is GC_AB2. I have a question. is it possible to invoke AC-21 before the 180-day period if relocating from a subsidiary to a parent company on promotion of the same employer?
It is possible in such in the following way. The way it works is, what AC-21 says is, once your I-140 is approved and 485 has been pending 180 days, you can take a similar job anywhere.
Okay.
Okay. Now, sometimes what if people leave 150 days into the 485? By the time USCIS questions you, if 180 days have passed, you're okay.
That means, like, do I need to start the green card process again, or, like,
can I continue
with the same thing?
Your green card is safe. Once 180 days have passed, your green card is safe.
No, before the 180 days, if I change
That's
my job.
I just said, before the 180 days, first of all, what if you leave on the 150th day? What happens?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens. Unless you get an RFE on the 151st day saying, are you still working for this employer? Now you've got a problem.
Oh, okay.
But if the RFE comes on 183rd day, no problem.
Okay.
Even though you left, it was questioned after 180 days.
Okay. But the problem arises when the question comes on the first or second day or, like, within just 30 days.
Yeah, then it can be a problem.
So, how long is the processing time for the labor for the EB2 category now? How long is it?
Category doesn't matter. EB2, EB3, labor cert times are the same.
Is it taking too long time nowadays?
No,
or like how?
No, anywhere from 2 days to a few months. And if you get stuck in audit, maybe longer.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck. Okay, since we started talking, I see. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, I'm the one from 212. Like, I was the one asking for the staying in India questions.
Yeah, of course.
So you were mentioning that I can come on AP and start working on H1.
That is correct.
So the H1 is not needed to be stamped?
No.
Okay.
That's why I said read the Cronin Memorandum.
Oh, okay.
It's an old memo from the 80s, but it's still good law.
Okay. And when should I apply for the extension? I mean, like, after, it's based on the H1 expiry or the AP expiry?
AP expiry.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
Good luck, sir.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay, since we started talking, one more hand went up. Area code 202, that's my neighborhood, Washington, D.C.
Yeah, hi, Rajiv. Thank you for taking my question.
Absolutely.
I will be applying for naturalization next year, and I got my green card on August 29th of 2007, right in the middle of the meltdown.
Oh, okay.
And I was working in financial services, and my next pay stub after I got the green card, the employer didn't make the amount from the green
that's
card application.
A problem. As long as you didn't do anything wrong, I mean, you tried.
No,
to
I actually stayed.
I
stayed with the employer until the last day when they went down.
Only thing I would recommend is apply for your citizenship after 5 years have passed. Okay, remember you can apply for naturalization within 90 days of the 5th year anniversary.
Uh-huh.
Don't do
yep.
that. Apply after 5 years have passed. The reason is this. It is easy for USCIS to revoke 485. It is much more difficult to revoke green card. Okay? So if you apply within 5 years, they can revoke 485. But if you apply after 5 years, they have to take you to immigration court to revoke your green card.
Okay.
So
what's the implication of revoking the 485? I was out of
it's
status?
Very easy. Revoking the 485 means your green card is gone just because USCIS says so. Okay? But if you have passed 5 years, then they have to take you before a judge. And you get to have your day in court, and you get to present evidence that you did everything by the book. So definitely, as a strategy, apply for naturalization after 5 years have passed.
Okay, and how strong is that case for them to...
I don't worry about these cases because as long as you did everything by the book, I think you will keep your green card.
Yeah, I actually have a letter from the employer explaining the causes, and it was a mass layoff situation. I actually stuck with the employer up until December when they could.
I think you're going to be fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Could
you
right.
hold 1 second? 1 second.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hi, this is Rajiv. Who? Oh, ma'am, I am in the middle of a conference call. I'll have to call you back. All right. Bye-bye. Okay. Are you done with your question, sir? Should I go on?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, guys, everybody's questions are answered except the area code 412. The hand is still up, but I can't hear them. Let me try unmuting.
Hi, Rajiv. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Oh, okay. I think I'm over voice or IP, so I think it's showing it at first.
One second. Guys, once again, there are only a few people left. If you guys have any questions, press 5-star on your phone. Then I'll be able to see you. 5-star. Ma'am, go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is regarding the NPR. It's been 90 days since we applied for the NPR. We got the receipt notice recently. Now, what are my options?
MTR for what?
I really want to work.
What was the MTR again?
This is for the I-140. We applied in EB1 category, but denied, so we applied for an NPR. My husband's EB2.
Are you talking about the EB1, ma'am? Did you hear what I said? I actually answered your question already.
I think you said that it's better I don't work.
Yeah, in my view, an EAD should not be used if the EB1 has been denied. An MTR does not reinstate it. But there are lawyers who are aggressive and who say, you know what, until they actually revoke my EAD, I'm going to continue using it. I don't recommend that.
The 485 is still under review, so that was the reason I was wondering.
It doesn't matter. It's been denied.
Okay.
If the review is granted, then of course your EAD is back. But right now it is not available. That's my view.
If my NPR is pending for 90 days now, what are my options? Is it better if
I don't think you have very many options as far as using your EAD, et cetera, are concerned.
Oh, no, not EAD. What I'm asking is if should I pull it back and apply for another 140 or...
That I don't know. Your lawyer can best advise you because I don't know your case. It depends upon the individual circumstances. I barely ever file MTRs. I either file an appeal or I file a new case.
Oh, all right. Thanks, Roger.
You're welcome. Good luck. I have one more question from, I believe, Atlanta. Area code 770. 1 second. Area code, this is the last question of the day. Go ahead, please, 7770.
Yeah, yes. This is recording that question of 140. Most of the time, most of the people, they are saying the 140 can be revoked by the employer.
I-140 can be revoked by the employer. That is correct.
So under what circumstances they can able to do that?
They can do it whenever they want. There is absolutely, it's their case, they can withdraw it at any point of time they want.
So withdrawing or revoking.
Same withdrawing is when the case is pending. Revoking is when the case is approved. They can do both anytime they want.
So if they revoke that 140, then we cannot able to use that priority date?
Only exception is AC-21. If you are under AC-21, then there is no problem. But if they revoke the case before you are eligible for AC-21, your priority date is gone. That's the current thinking of USCIS.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, folks, that pretty much closes our discussion for today. Thank you for being here, and I will see you in a couple of weeks.